Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Hallelujah. This is something I've been praying about, and God put in our heart for him to be here this evening. And God is going to do, he's going to change your story this evening. If you believe that, shout a big amen. So with joy in our hearts, let us stand up on our feet as we welcome Dr. Valentine OJ to minister to us. God bless you, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're glad, can you make a joyful noise to the Lord? It's such a great honor for me to be here tonight. Such a great honor. And I want to thank God for the privilege to be here, to be part of this meeting. I believe that the Lord doesn't just set up meetings for fun. Yes, for fun. Yes, he does. It is a fun God. Hallelujah. But I also believe that the reason that God has set this up is because somebody has prayed. Somebody has lifted up his voice. And like Cornelius, the Bible says that Cornelius prayed. He gave alms, and an angel appeared to him and said, Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have risen to God. Now send for Peter. He will tell you what you need to do. So that means Cornelius prayed and God answered sending Peter. Glory to God. So Peter was the answer God sent. I believe that this meeting is God's answer to someone's prayer. Glory to God. And I want to appreciate our pastor in the house, Pastor Murphy. Can you join me and celebrate and appreciate him? Thank you, sir. Such a great honor for me to be here as always. Hallelujah. And I want to appreciate his very beautiful wife, Dr. NG. God bless you. Thank you, ma. My sister, my senior colleague, my friend, and my mommy in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And everyone that is here, I'm here with my brother and friend, Pastor Chidebere. Thank you for being here. And I want to appreciate my very, very lovely wife, whose mantle I came here with. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You lift up your hands to the Lord wherever you are. I trust the Lord that that we will step out of time and yet manifest in time the things that the Lord has ordained before time. Glory to God. Can you just take a few seconds and just pray and talk with the Lord? Let your heart release an incense to the Lord. Let your heart release an incense to the Lord. Let your heart release an incense to the Lord. Let your heart release an incense to the Lord. Kabanda shagahi kado kahaya. Vede zakahi lakado shagahaya. Rebranda la digo da gida go da gida. Ezege bago da giba rahaka. Ezebrande redida dora. Mekei lako ilakai lakahai. Evesema gadagia gadagia bahosha. Zebrendele dia garoda lagahaya. Zedebahanda la kaida. Ala kaida kaida kaida. Meze kaida manakoda shada. Oh, kabanen daradia garadia garadia. Zebari kabako daradia garadia. Shabakoria daladei gabakora. Vezede de Evezi kakai, kakai la kai la kai la, lebradia kai la, edo shagabakari adalakaha. Vezendere diagada diagada go, ezebra kadila shagada haka, ezembranda la diagada dia, ezeko shada diagada dia, eleki kakori adalakaha. Evezi branda diga, ezebra diga lagadiga, ezegredia dalagada, ezegredia gadalaga, mago shagada, eveziza, zedeba ho karanda lakahi. Woo! We glorify your name. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Lord, tonight we are here and we honor your presence. We recognize your presence. We recognize your presence. Thank you. Because tonight nobody will leave here the same. Nobody will leave here the same. Nobody will leave the same. Thank you. We thank you. Thank you. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give a shout to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Hallelujah. May be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. So you can pray for me, but just very, you know, just flow with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, Thursday, I was telling some people, you mean you were busy walking, running around, doing work, sleeping, eating, doing all kinds of things, while Judas was negotiating to sell your Lord. You know? Because if you were more conscious, probably they wouldn't have crucified him yesterday. Amen? Hallelujah. And some of us were busy running around over different things. And Judas, who knows how much 30 pieces of silver the equivalent is today. Glory to God. But you know, I got myself thinking. I started thinking. And I said to myself, if Jesus came to die for your salvation, came to die for your salvation, and he wouldn't have died if Judas didn't betray him. Isn't it? So that means, basically, that Judas helped the work of salvation. Isn't it? So why do we now look at him as if he's one unforgivable sinner? Say he committed the unpardonable thing. Sold the Lord. But if he didn't sell the Lord, you won't have been saved. So we should actually be grateful to Judas. Amen. And though some person said, yes, so Judas, he now died and went to hell, and he's there forever and ever because he sold the Lord. How can you sell my master? And then I was thinking the other day, and then I realized that after Judas died. Jesus died. And then the Bible says he died for the sins of everyone. And so my question is, do you think that his blood jumped Judas? Just a thought. Do you think his blood skipped Judas? You know, when he went to hell and preached the gospel to the souls, that, you know, he now come to the first person and say, you come out. You know, they said he took captives in his train and led them. You come out. And then he came to Judas. So it's because of you I'm even here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's such an amazing time to be alive. And one of the greatest things actually is the foundation and definition of our faith is what we are celebrating this particular week. Hallelujah. Because if Jesus didn't resurrect, there will be nothing like, you know, we won't be. There will be no foundation, there will be no basis for any interaction. There will be no basis at all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put your hand on your chest. Just put one hand on your chest. And say, Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Say, Lord, help me. Sorry, I'm in the spirit. It's not as if I'm been outside the spirit. I'm still in the spirit laughing. Glory to God. So just put your hand again and say, Lord, help me. Say, Lord, I open my heart to receive your word. To receive your word. Teach me. Help me. Thank you. In Jesus' name. I watched one clip some time ago, you know, and then the woman was praying for somebody or prophesying or something. It was this hype man interpreter who was on the other side. And so the woman was talking, praying, you know, prophesying different things about the man she was praying over. And then he said, you are this, you are this. And then the hype man was like, hey. And then she said, you are this, you did this, entered here, this thing happened to you. The hype man said, help him, mommy. Help him. That place is not good for him. Help him. So that was why when I said, put your hand on your chest and say, help me, Lord. I just busted because somehow the image of the helping mommy came to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus resurrected. He wasn't raised from the dead. Jesus resurrected. He wasn't raised from the dead. Jesus resurrected. He wasn't raised from the dead. Somebody says, what's the difference? Lazarus was raised from the dead. If you're raised from the dead, you'll die again. Jesus was the first person to resurrect. But there were many people who were raised from the dead before him. Jesus resurrected. He wasn't raised from the dead. Being raised from the dead is like waking somebody up from sleep. If somebody is a monkey and he sleeps, and you wake him, he will still wake up as a monkey. If somebody is a goat and he falls asleep, and you wake the goat up, he will wake up a goat. I've not seen a man that slept and woke up as an elephant. In other words, when you are raised from the dead, you come up in the same order of life. In the same order of life. In the same order of life. But you see, the difference between raising the dead and being resurrected is that when somebody is resurrected, he comes up in a different order of life. And 1 Corinthians 15 says, he died in corruption. It was raised in incorruption. He died in mortality. It was raised in immortality. He died in one order of life. It was raised in another order of life. So resurrection is a shift from one order of life to another. It's not just about waking from the dead. If it's about waking from the dead, then Jesus was not the first person. And if he was not the first person, then there's nothing fantastic about what he did. But he's the first person to resurrect. As a matter of fact, he is the only person to resurrect. Because every other resurrection happens in him. Hallelujah. Every other resurrection happens in him. The word resurrection is something we have grown with. From as far back as whenever it is, became a Christian. You probably have been hearing that word, resurrection. You know, even when we read the Apostles' Creed or one of those expressions of the faith of Christians, you will talk about the resurrection of the dead. Glory to God. Let me start with John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Glory to God. John chapter 11 is the story of Jesus, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. And so they came and told Jesus that Lazarus was sick. Jesus was still engaging. And then said, the sickness is not unto death. And then finally he said, let's go. They now told him Lazarus was dead. At the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And then in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But whosoever liveth and believes in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said to her, Martha said, I know my brother will rise at the resurrection, at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. As a matter of fact, what you call the last day is actually the resurrection or the resurrection day. So when the Bible says, I know he will rise again at the resurrection and last day, it's actually saying at the resurrection, which is the last day. So the resurrection day is the last day. The resurrection is the last day. And so the matter said, I know that at the last day, he will rise again at the resurrection. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. If the resurrection is the last day, it means Jesus is actually telling her, I am the resurrection, I am the life, I am the last day. In other words, the resurrection is not a moment in time that is to come. The resurrection is a person. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The resurrection is a person. The last day, the person. You see, we have grown to have a mindset when you hear day, you're thinking normal day and night. And so you're thinking that it is the last time we will have day and night. And that's the last day. But then if you read Isaiah, you will hear when he says that now is the day of salvation. You will hear the day of the Lord. Those things are not morning and night 24-hour days. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, the day of salvation is not one particular Tuesday in the month of September some year. No. It is a season that opened by the resurrection. The resurrection day is actually the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? It means that whoever enters into him has come into the resurrection. That whoever comes into him has embodied and swallowed up the life that is the resurrection. So now, let me show you a foundation. A foundation. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. You know, most times you want to do many things. You start at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Very interesting scripture. Very popular scripture. And God said, let us make man in our image. You see, many people don't understand why Jesus came. Many of us don't. Let me say this. Jesus did not come primarily because of sin. Jesus did not come primarily because of sin. I'll show you why he came. He didn't come primarily because of sin. Once again, put your hand on your chest. I want you to pray in other tongues for 1 minute. Just pray. Lift your voice and just pray. Just pray. Because there are things that will be installed in your heart in this weekend that will define and redefine your walk with God for the rest of your life. Oh, glory, 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 glory to you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and all. This was God's architectural plan for making man. That architectural plan had three steps. The first one was creating man in his image. The second one is building man up in his likeness. And then the third step is that the man will now have dominion. So if you look at that scripture, you will see God said, it was like God was drawing a map. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Three steps plan in the making of man. But now let's see the implementation. In the implementation in the next verse, you will be expecting to hear that just as God had written, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion, you will be expecting to hear, and so God made man in his image after his likeness and they had dominion. Are we together? Now, look at verse 27 in the implementation of the plan. So, God created man in his own image. One. In the image of God created he him. One. Male and female created he them. Suddenly, there was no mention of likeness anymore. It was only image that was discussed. It was only image that was discussed. But the initial plan was, let's create man in our image, build them in likeness, and let them have dominion. But in implementation, he did the creation in the image and didn't do any other thing. And so, permit me to submit to you that the man that was created in Eden was not a finished product. He was not a finished product. And so, after God had made man, created man in his image, the next step was now likeness. Unlike image, likeness is a process. Likeness is another word for functionality or stature. Stature. So likeness is a process. It's a process. And that was why, the principle behind growth in likeness is captured in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Where the Bible says that we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the image of God, the glory of God, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That is the process, the technology behind growth in likeness. That as you behold the image, the glory, you are transformed into the same image from one level of glory to another. Now, having understood that technology, you will now know exactly why God used to appear in the cool of the evening to have fellowship with Adam. Because the plan was that as Adam kept beholding the Lord, engaging with him, Adam will be growing and expanding in stature. And the plan of God was that Adam will grow to the point that he becomes exactly the image he was beholding.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So that scripture says we behold his image and we are transformed from glory to glory. The plan is until you become the exact representation of what you are beholding. So God said, I will make them in the image. I'll create them in the image. Then they will keep fellowshipping and beholding me to grow in likeness. And they will keep growing until they can embody the fullness of the image that they are beholding. Do you understand? And that is the point that is called dominion. Because that image is what became the full expression of the Father. The full expression of the Father. In other words, so it was more like this. Let me tell you what it's like. God was alone on his own. And then out of his lack of who to have fellowship with, because he didn't really know who to fellowship with, all the angels, they were all like, they couldn't bear the fullness of his light. And so, for him to have someone he will fellowship with at his frequency, he had to literally give birth to it. And so God looked into himself and brought out himself. And that himself that he brought out was called the image of the Father. The image of the Father. It was also called the Son. If you read Colossians chapter 1, the whole chapter, you will see that description. It was describing the Son. It was describing the image of the Father. That image of the Father is an expression of God that came out of God. It came out of God. So what God did was that in his quest to find who to fellowship with him at his frequency, he realized that if he releases his light as it is to any angel in the realm of fellowship, that angel will disappear. Because there's no angel that can contain the full expression of the Father. And so he realized that for him to have someone to share his likeness and to fellowship with him as he is, that person needs to come from him. That person needs to be born in the same environment where he is. And so he brought out himself and then started fellowshipping with himself. That himself was called the Son. It was called the express image of the Father. That was why when David had a prophetic vision, David said, I looked and I saw the Lord and I saw my Lord. And the Lord said to my Lord, how come two of them are the same Lord, but they are two talking to each other? It was because one had brought out another from himself so that he could fellowship with himself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so, that Son, let's call it the Son, because that's what the Bible called it, the one that proceeds from the Father. That Son is also called the express image of the Father. It had been even before creation. That's why he is called the firstborn of creation, because it was actually through him that all creation came. All. Nothing was made that was made without him. Nothing. 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 And so, listen carefully. Oh, this place is too high. Shy can jump down. Nothing was created that was ever made without him. If you look in Colossians chapter 1, around verse 13, 14, you will see where he said, in him and by him were all things made. And nothing exists that was not made by him. He was describing the Son. He was describing the image. Now, that same description that Colossians gave, you will see that same description in John chapter 1, verse 1. And he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And by him, all things were made. And nothing was made that wasn't created in him or by him. The Word. The same description. But in Colossians 1, they called it the image. They called it the Son. In John chapter 1, they called it the Word. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23 that you have been regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Even the Word, the seed of God that lives and abides forever. In other words, the Word of God is the seed that proceeds from the Father. The Word of God is Son. Is the Son. So these three things are describing one entity. The Bible calls it the Son. He calls it the express image, the image. He calls it the Word. He calls it the Word. Let me tell you what else the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the Father. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. I know you thought that when Jesus ascended, he came to where the Father was and then checked. Okay, this is his left hand. Okay, maybe Holy Ghost is there. This should be the right hand. Let me now move towards the right hand and sit by his right hand. No, sir. Guess what? God is not in time. God is not in space. God is not a matter. In other words, God is outside time. He's not limited by your minutes or seconds or time. That's why your tomorrow, your yesterday, your today is an eternal now to him. God is outside direction or space. God doesn't know left, right, front or back. God is multidirectional and unidirectional. He doesn't have front or back. If he's looking front, he's looking back at the same. If he's looking left, he's looking right. He doesn't have a left hand and a right hand. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there is no right hand per se that God has. That phrase captures the power, the expression of the PowerPoint of God. It's just like a man gives birth to a son and said, this son is my right hand. He's saying that this son is the expression of my power and the expression of my authority. So when he did that, he was saying that this one that you call the image, this one that you call the son, he is the expression of my might. He is the expression of my power. That was what he said. And he called it the right hand of the Father. So all those phrases are capturing the same thing. The same. The same. The same. The same. And so, everything was created in the image. I'm not sure you've heard what I said. Everything from Colossians, nothing was created that wasn't created in the image and by the image. And John said, nothing was created that wasn't created by the Word and in the Word. So when they said in the scripture that man was created in the image of God, man was not the only one created in the image. Everything was created in the image. But man was the only one that had the capacity to grow in likeness of that image in which everything was created. Because there is nothing that is created ever that was not created in by that image. It is by the Word, by the image, by the Son that everything was created. But the plan of God was, let us make man in our image. The same way every other thing was made. But this time around, let them grow in likeness. No other creation could grow in likeness. And then in growing in likeness, the plan of God is that man will expand, and then become the embodiment of the image in whom all things were created. That was the plan. That was the plan. And so when he created Adam, Adam began to grow. Adam had been made in the image, created in the image. So every day, every evening, God will show up and be a reflection, so that in his fellowship with Adam, Adam is beholding that person, beholding that being. And in beholding him, he's transforming, he's growing, he's becoming more and more like him. And so Adam was growing in stature. He had been made in the image. He was now growing in the likeness to be able to attain a level of glory that is called dominion. But somewhere along his journey, something happened, and his journey was truncated. Remember, he was created in the image, and then he was growing to attain likeness. That was what he was journeying. See, when the devil appeared to man, to Adam, the devil told Adam something. And the funny thing is that what the devil told Adam, the Bible calls it a temptation. As in, the Bible said that Adam was tempted by the devil. But you know, the book of James actually said that every man is tempted when of his own lusts he is drawn away and enticed. It means you cannot be tempted by something you are not lusting after. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what happened to Adam, Bible calls it a temptation. So that means what the devil offered him was something he was lusting after. So what did the devil tell him? If you eat this fruit, you will be like God. Like God. He was in a journey to attain the likeness. He was on a journey to attain the likeness. And the devil came and offered him the getting of what the process was to give him. And it became a temptation. Because if he wasn't desiring it, it wouldn't have been a temptation. Like. And so Adam fell. Stumbled. And fell. And his journey was truncated. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Adam did not fall from glory. Adam did not fall from glory. No, he did not. You know, I hear a lot of times people say that Adam fell from glory, so Jesus came to restore man to the glory where Adam fell from. No. No. He didn't fall from glory. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, for man had sinned. All man have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sinned and falling short of the glory of God. There's a difference between falling short of and falling from. There's a difference. Falling from is that you are on a 10-story building and then you collapsed and fell to the ground floor. Falling short of is that you were running to run up to a 10-story building, or maybe you're in a lift and you press 10, you know, level 10. And the lift kept going, and at level 9, NEPA took light. So you didn't reach where you were going. You were gunning for first class, and first class is 4.0, and then you get 9.95. And they said they are not rounding it up. You have fallen short of first class. You didn't fall from first class. You fell short of. So what man did was that man fell short of glory. In other words, it tells you that man was pressing towards glory. And somehow something truncated his journey, and man fell short of that glory. And do you know what the Bible now says? The Bible now tells us the purpose that Jesus came. In Hebrews chapter 2, I think verse 10. He said that he came in bringing many sons to glory. It was expedient for the captain of their salvation to be made perfect through suffering. So what was his purpose? To bring many sons to glory. To bring many sons to glory. To bring many sons to glory. But guess what? Glory is where Adam was going to before he fell. So Jesus didn't come to restore you to where Adam fell from. Jesus came to take you to where Adam was going to before he fell. Is somebody understanding what I'm saying? And so, when Adam fell, his journey was truncated. And suddenly, so that means all that while, man never reached the end product. Because the end product is glory. The end product is dominion. The end product. So any level of dominion you are in is not what God even had in mind. And so, Jesus came as the last Adam. In other words, Jesus came exactly as Adam. As the last Adam. And he came and started the same way Adam started. And started in the same journey. Jesus and Adam, both of them were born without a man. As a matter of fact, the only reason why Adam wasn't born of a woman was because he was the very first. There was no other person before him. And so, Jesus came, he was born, and then he too started a journey of growing in stature. And the Bible says the boy Jesus grew in stature and in favor before men and before God. He started growing again in that likeness. He started growing and growing, and he got to a place, the same place Adam came to, and the devil showed up again. Showed up again and brought a temptation, and Jesus overcame, and the journey continued, and he kept growing in that stature. He kept growing and kept growing. The reason you will notice that there was a growth in his stature is that at one point, you will hear him praying. He said, my father does the works. After a while, you will now hear him praying. You say, what I see my father do, I do. After a while, you now see him again praying. He's now saying, I and my father are one. These are steps in growth in consciousness. He got to a time, so at the time they came to arrest him in Gethsemane, he didn't say, I and my father are one. He said, I am he. I am is the name that is exclusive to God. And Jesus came to the point where he possessed that name. He had grown to a point. And so, did you realize that when Jesus came to Martha and Mary in Lazarus' house, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. As at the time Jesus was saying, I am the resurrection, do you realize he had not died? He had not died. But he had grown in consciousness and stature to a point where his consciousness imbibed the resurrection. As a matter of fact, it was because his stature had grown to accommodate himself as the resurrection. That was why he was able to rise from the dead. And he kept growing in stature. And he came to a point Now, listen. Because the first Adam sinned and his journey was truncated and he died, Jesus came as him to pay for the sin and bring a restoration. So after the death that Jesus died, technically, Adam didn't have any sin anymore because Jesus had paid. And so Jesus died for the sin of Adam. But you see, the resurrection is a whole different town hall. Amen. The resurrection is a whole different thing. It's a whole different package. Because if Jesus had died and not resurrected, sin would have been paid for. Then maybe Adam will be looking for a way to come and continue his journey from where he stopped. Adam was like a car traveling from Enugu to Lagos and reached Ore or somewhere, and the car knocked engine. And then Jesus came, a whole new car, a different car, the same brand, drove to the place, used this engine, you know, recreated Adam's zone so that he could continue his journey. That was what his death did. But his resurrection went beyond fixing Adam to literally carrying Adam and dropping him at the place he was supposed to have gone in the first place. So Jesus took that journey, and when he got to the death, he paid that price and died and was buried. And when he died and was buried, first day, second day, third day, he didn't rise up. As a matter of fact, he couldn't rise up, even if he wanted to. Why? Because you see, when sin came, the weight of sin brought sickness and brought death. And because he had taken it on himself, it was like a weight of gravity that was now holding him down. As a matter of fact, sin, sickness, and death held Jesus captive. And Jesus could not come out. Infirmity, affliction, they held Jesus captive in that grave. It wasn't a sin he committed. It was a sin that was put on him. Because he came to pay a price for another. And so, after the third day, or by the third day, it was this point where the claim of justice had been satisfied. It was this point where you have paid and paid. It's like the 3 days, they told you something is $1,000. So the 3 days, you were just giving $100, paying. First day passed, you had paid maybe $350. By the second day, you were paying. By the third day, all of a sudden, you gave the last dime. And justice was served. The claim was satisfied. All of a sudden, the one who was dead, who had been put, had sin imputed on him, the Bible says he was justified in the spirit. He was justified. And guess what? He wasn't just justified. Because when he was justified, something happened to him. And suddenly, the man that died, something changed in his configuration. And suddenly, he became a different being. He became a different person. He became a different structure. And all of a sudden, that one that death was holding captive. You know, it's like that moment where you are holding, you know, this generation, I don't know. Who knows Incredible Hulk? You know, let me know whether we are still in the same. You know, you're holding him captive. And then you don't want to get him angry. Because if you get him angry, you know, you won't like him. And then all of a sudden, he's in that place where you have put bars to cover him. And suddenly, something starts changing in his being. starts changing in his being. He starts expanding. He starts shifting. He starts morphing into another being. By the time he finishes changing, if you are lucky, that building might still be standing. Because just by the force of his change, he will literally crumble the structure of that building. And so Jesus changed. Something morphed in his being. The Bible says the one that was buried was corruptible. But the one that rose was incorruptible. The one that was buried was mortal. The one that was rising was immortal. And so suddenly something changed. And they just realized that this person that we were holding captive, the Bible said he threw off principalities and powers. He threw off. And he didn't just throw them off. He took captives. He took captivity captive. Do you know what that means? He turned the prison warders to the prisoners. The same people that held him bound, he now turned and then carried all of them and locked them up. The Bible says sin was destroyed. Sickness, death, and hell. He took them together and locked them up. And when he appeared in Revelation, he said, I am he that was dead. Most people announce, I am he that was alive. He said, I am he that was dead. But behold, I am alive forever. And I have the keys of death and hell. I have. But he didn't just stop there. He ascended. And he kept ascending and ascended across different realms of life, of authority, of power. And ascended, the Bible said he ascended that he might fill all things. Filling all things was what God wanted Adam to do. He wanted him to grow to the point he embodies the image that fills all things. In other words, when Jesus ascended was actually when man entered dominion. The making of man started in Adam and ended at the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. So at the time Jesus ascended and sat down, guess where he sat? Now, that is the interesting part. Because all this while, there was a right-hand side of the Father. There was the Word. There was the image, the Son. It was there. That image that the Father had brought out from himself. And so when Jesus ascended and resurrected and ascended, he went and sat at the right hand of the Father. In other words, that office, that place that is called the Son, that place that is called the express image, that place that is called the Christ, that place that is called the Word, Jesus entered and embodied it as himself. All of a sudden, the express image of the Father is now a man. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of a sudden, the one seated at the right hand of God is a man. All of a sudden, a man has become the Word, the embodiment of the Word of God. All of a sudden, a man has become the Christ. All of a sudden, a man has become the full expression of the image of the Father. A man. Hear me, brothers and sisters. You see what you call the Godhead. There is a man in the Godhead. There is a man in the Godhead. There is a man in the Godhead. You know the most beautiful thing about this all? The Bible says, when he died, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. When he rose, I rose with him. When he ascended, I ascended. Ended with him, and he has caused us to be seated together with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and any name that can ever be named. He seated far above, and when he rose, I went with him. In other words, when he came out of that grave victorious over death, Dr. Val was right inside him. When he rose from there and collected the keys of death and Hades, Dr. Val collected it with him. My God, I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with a key? What do you do with a key? To open and lock. And he has the keys of death and hell. Eh? It means you can open hell and lock it again. It means you can literally open the door of hell, bring somebody out, and lock it back. Do you know that somebody can be brought out of hell? Are you aware? Are you aware? Listen, let me tell you. The only thing that is eternal is Christ himself. Let me prove it to you. Jesus said, lay hands on the dead, raise the dead. He didn't say raise only the dead that died and went to heaven. Do you understand? So if he died and went to hell, you still have a license to raise him. So if somebody is dead and is in hell, and you lay hands on the person, and the person came up, have literally put your hand, opened that door, pulled that person out. The reason you are able to have that kind of dominion and authority is because you received a key that unlocks and locks, a key to death, a key that subjects all that. And guess what, brothers and sisters? When Adam sinned, sin came, and came with it sickness and death, and Adam fell. Let me end by showing you a picture. Because if you understand this, it's so easy for you to be healed. It's so easy for you to be delivered. The attack you were, sir, let me tell you, sir. You know, there's this thing, you say, hi, brother. How are you? You say, I'm fine. You just have just been having a lot of attack. Attack, attack, attack. Christians like that word, attack. Attack. They love that word. Say attack. I saw one brother one day. I just came, I greeted him. Ah, bro, Emeka, how far now?
Yeah.
I said, bro, what's wrong with you? I said, what's going on? He said, battle. I was doing battle all night. So I said, you were doing battle all night?
Yeah.
I said, who? Because the way I'm looking at you with this your voice. I said, who won? It will change. I used to have, you know, all those things people have. I have a better understanding of it now. You know, say you were sleeping and they came to attack and they were pressing me and pressing me. And I was shouting, G. And then suddenly, Jesus. And then I'm sweating. Say, brother Alpha. Say, attack. So many years ago, that kind of thing used to happen to me. And then one day I started getting knowledge. And then one day I lay down and slept. And something came and pressed me. And when you pressed me, I opened my eye and then closed it and continued sleeping. That was when it ended. Because the devil keeps giving you demonstration because you're giving him attention. Sin came. Sickness followed. Death followed. Pulled man down. So, let me show you a picture. And I pray that the Lord will help you understand this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, please, I need 4 people. Just 4 random people. Any 4 people, please come. 1, 2,
Come, just come. Okay, 3, 4. Awesome. Okay, sir. Please stand here. Yes. Then, okay, no, ma, please stand. Come and stand. Just stand on this place. Sister, come. No. Stand on the first floor. You come, stand on the second. Okay, sir, please come. Stand on this top. Come. Stand on the third place. So everybody, just face the crowd. Awesome. Pay attention. You see, because we have come to a point where the devil has become the most significant thing to believers. The devil actually enjoys attention from believers than God himself. More attention. That's why somebody will pray. He has 1 hour prayer. That 1 hour, he has bound the devil in new heaven, cast him out to Enugu, followed him up to Enugu, bound him to the center of River Niger, then followed him to River Niger again, bound him, cast him to the River Nile, then followed him again, then cast him out of the world to Venus. Then you will come and follow him again, bind him. You are battling. By the time you finish, 50 minutes have passed. You now use the remaining 10 minutes and be saying, thank you, Lord. We know you have heard me. We know you have heard me. He didn't hear you anything. You didn't tell him anything. So much attention. So much consciousness of the devil. The day, listen, one day, sir, I told some people, I said, I'm challenging you to pray for the next 7 days without mentioning devil. Just don't mention devil. Just come and commune with your father. Just, it's a challenge. And then the person was like, how the prayer go be? How would the prayer be? Because the mindset of prayer is warfare with the devil. One day my sister went to one fellowship somewhere in Enugu here many years ago. And then she was invited. She came there for the first time. And then they said, after preaching and doing a lot of stuff, they now said, brethren, it's time for war. Everybody, take up your armor of God. My younger sister, she was like, maybe it's a spiritual thing. I know that the armor is a spiritual thing. That's what she thought until activity started. Take up your armor and begin to fire the devil. She was like this, still trying to pray. She now heard someone beside her. Devil, Michelle, in my family, Michelle. She was still trying to coordinate that. She looked at the other side, saw this one. I think he was a ninja in the spirit. He was using sword. Pia, pia. Devil, I take you, Sasa, Sa. My sister didn't understand where she was. It was when she heard from behind her. You know what she heard? You know the kind of gun you manifest is a function of your revelation. So I just ba-ba-ba-ba. This one was machine gun. I told them, these people, they don't have revelation. If I was there, me, Dr. Val, take up your armor of God and begin to fight. I'll just be like, devil. Just gather, just end everything. Just one grenade to take care of everything. Glory to God. When God created Adam, created man, this is man. When Daniel was praying, Daniel prayed in a way. And then many Christians have taken it as a template of prayer. Daniel prayed.
And as he was praying, an angel came and told him that from the day you set your heart to pray, God answered you. And then I was bringing your answer. And I was waylaid by the prince of Persia. And I had to fight him. Even Michael had to come and help me. And then I finally brought your answer. And even now as I'm going back, I don't know how I'm going to cross. Because the prince of Persia is still waiting. And so, number one is that many believers, first of all, collected prince of Persia. So you are living at Oguago in Enugu. You are praying. And then in your prayer, you begin to bind prince of Persia. Meanwhile, you are in Enugu. Prince of Oguago is busy blocking your view. You are disturbing Persia prince that doesn't even know that you... What color of problem is our own? What color is our problem exactly? And so many believers have had that understanding. Okay, that before I pray, there is already a group of principalities and powers set to block my view. Just like Daniel. So I have to war and break through so that my answer will come. Let me end by showing you this. If you came here and you are sick in any way, let me announce to you that the word to you are spirit and they are life. I'm not just telling you this. I'm telling you this so when you are healed, you will stay healed. Because it's knowledge that keeps you healed. My faith can heal you, but it is your faith that will keep you healed. And that faith is based on the revelation of the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. And so, many believers took that prayer model. So, first of all, you bind prince of Persia. You now begin to release your angels and all that. That's powerful. Now, when God created Adam, created man, the Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of him? It was actually angels that made that declaration. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? In other words, it was more like they had been enjoying a particular place and then man came and was in a whole different level and seemed to have the whole attention of God. And then they say, what is man that you are mindful of him? You have made him little lower than Elohim. Many translations wrote angels there, but the original thing is Elohim. Man was made a little lower than Elohim. If they were made a little lower than angels, the angels will not be saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? So, this is God. Seated above all else, the highest realm of living and life. A little lower than God is man. And then a little lower than man is the angels. And then lower than the angels is not you. Lower than the angels is the devil and demons. Hear this. At this point, if God wants to communicate with man, he doesn't need an angel to mediate. Because man is directly below him. This is like the four flats in a building. Ground floor, first floor, second floor, third floor. God lives at the third floor, topmost floor. Man lives just below him. So, if God wants to commune with man, he doesn't need an angel in between. He will just step down in the cool of the day. He will step down, go to the next flat, and fellowship with Adam. Exactly. And fellowship with Adam. Eh? Now, there's no angel between them. And there's no devil between them. Then, all of a sudden, one of those days when... Okay, go back to your house. Go back to your house. One of those days, Adam sinned. And when he sinned, there was a fall in consciousness. There was a fall. And so Adam was dislodged from his flat and came lower than the angels, lower than the devil, and came to the ground floor. When he came to the ground floor now, the angel went to his flat. The devil took the flat that was above. And so you now see that after God, you will now see the angels. You will now see the devil before man. So if this man prays and God hears his prayer and wants to send an answer, the person that is closest to him that he can give the answer is an angel. So he now gives the answer to angel Gabriel and tells Gabriel, go and give man this answer. Gabriel begins to go down. This one blocks, because he has to pass this flat to get to man. And then after much battle and battle, she manages to give it to man. That is how the prayer was in the time. Now go back to your house. Then when Jesus came, the Father was in his house. Then out of his bosom, a seed came and took the form of this man. And then descended. Okay, so come. Descend. Made yourself lower than angels, lower, and came to the man. Identified with the man in death. And then he took the man in resurrection and started ascending with him. And as he ascended, he passed the demonic level. He passed. Glory! Passed the angelic level. Came to where Adam was before and passed it. And took man beyond the level where he was. And took him into his own flat. Right inside the bosom of God. So, where he took Adam to is not where Adam fell from. He took him to another place where he is now communicating with God heart to heart. Hear me, brothers and sisters. How is it possible? When this man was here, the devil couldn't interface between their fellowship. How come now the man is right inside the bosom, seated together as one in Christ, in God? How come now this man wants to commune with God? And the devil now comes to block their revelation or their communication. How possible is that? Because where he has taken this man to is called unapproachable light. It's called unapproachable light. It means these ones cannot even approach. And so it's inside. So how did the devil enter unapproachable light? Somebody carried him in his consciousness. This is where you are. This is what the resurrection did to you. This is what the death of Jesus brought. In other words, the way you relate with the devil is not the way it was before. You don't battle. You don't. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Who shall say to him, what doest thou? What doest thou? Esther was one of the maidens until the king chose to marry her. The moment the king married her, all of them will bow before Esther and the king. Let me announce to you, Hebrews chapter 1 says that when he brought his first begotten into the world, he commanded all God's angels to worship him. All the angels are commanded to worship his son. If the angels who are not fallen are worshiping the son, how much more a devil who is a fallen angel? Let me announce to you that the devil you are spending time engaging with has a standing order to worship you. Standing order. Lift up your hands wherever you are. Just lift your hands. month. All of a sudden, the way you look at things change. The way you see the devil changes. The way you see circumstances changes. The way you look at infirmity changes. Rise up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. I want you to just lift your hands and pray. Just say, just thank the Lord for the death and resurrection. For how he changed the whole game. For how he changed the whole place. For how he changed your state and brought you into a whole new place. 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 Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. I'm sure you've heard about closed heavens. Closed heavens. You've heard about closed heavens. Closed heavens. I'm not here to say whether the heaven can be closed or not. But I'm here to tell you that if you are standing or seated with God inside the heavenly places, if the heaven is closed, it closed with you inside. Do you understand? It closed with you inside. That means you are not the one outside trying to bang at the door for the door to open. No, you are the one inside that can give access to any other person that wants to enter. If there is a closed heaven, if there is a closed heaven, it closed with you inside. It closed with you inside. It closed with you inside. That consciousness will change your fellowship with Abba. It will change your relationship with the Father. And it will change the way you address strange circumstances. So the things you used to cry for, all of a sudden you can look at them from the place of authority and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Lift your hands and just pray for 1 minute. This is the foundation of healing. This is the foundation of deliverance. This is the foundation. Because the reason the devil has been oppressing you is because you didn't know you are now seated far above him. Kariba karida la kadisha gabahaka. Ezede branda la giagatia. Shagaba karia dalagia gadabaka. Vede zagaya gaha. Kede shadagabagora. Ezebredia garade. Eve dalagia gadago shadagia gadagaha. Zeba karia gabagora. Ezedegia gadagia. Pele kayakia shadagia gaha. There's someone that has been plagued with strange nightmares. Plagued with strange nightmares. Strange nightmares over a while. And sometimes you wake, you begin to pray. You begin to pray. It seems as if there's a spirit that makes you feel that you are about to die. And some of those strange pictures you have in the dreams seem to put you in a place where the fear of death is having a grip on you. And most times you wake up and you begin to pray. Let me just tell you something. It's going to happen one more time. It's going to happen one more time. Just one more time.
When it happens, hear me. Don't pray. Don't pray. Don't pray. When you wake up, just say, thank you, Lord, for I am seated far above. I'm seated far above principalities and powers. I dwell in unapproachable light. And when you say that, just go back in and sleep. That will be the very last time it occurs. That will be the very last time it occurs. If you have any pain in any place or any part of your body, something that, you know, or a part you can't move or something that has afflicted, please, can you just put your hand there? Just put your hand there right now. The glory of God is in this place. The glory of God is in this place. I see angels removing garments from people. Garments of tears and pain. Garments, garments. Come, sister, come. Come, come. Yeah. What happened to your shoulder?
For a very long time, there's this very sharp pain on my shoulder. So I find it difficult to raise my hand. Although I do it, I insist on doing it, but it's really very painful.
Sharp, painful. Okay, so let's use you as a point of contact. Is that okay? So I'm going to address this pain and this discomfort. And it's going to clear now. I'm not prophesying. I'm not guesswalking. This is what I do for a living. Hallelujah. And when I do that, it becomes a reference point for every single person, no matter what it is that is wrong with you. So, right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this infirmity. I rebuke this infirmity. I speak a creative miracle now to this shoulder. Pain be gone, shoulder be totally healed. And now suddenly you can do what you couldn't do. Just please do move your hand.
It's no longer that painful, but it's still there.
Yes. So, on a scale of 1 to 100, how was it before and how is it now?
I would say now it's like 30 to 50. Because before, if I want to dress, you know, I would have to call my daughter to come and help me because I couldn't really lift my...
Okay, so, has moved from maybe 90-100 to 30 to 40. Okay, awesome. No, we don't want bearable. Jesus didn't die for bearable. Amen. It's a finished work. It's not to be continued. Can somebody say amen? He said it is finished. He didn't say watch out for part two. Amen. So, you're like the man who was blind and they laid hands on him and he started seeing trees. Jesus said, come, we'll lay hands on you again. And so right now, life flows through your shoulder. The life of God flows through your shoulder. The tendons, ligaments, every part of these joints totally healed. Move, move, stretch. What difference?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
What's going on?
Absolutely gone.
Absolutely gone. Absolutely gone. Can somebody make a joyful noise to the Lord? Thank you.
your pain is, whatever you're having that discomfort, whatever the infirmity is, right now, in the name of Jesus, you infirmity, I rebuke you. You have been defeated. I rebuke you. Go! Take your claws off the people of God. Now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now just begin to stretch. Move that hand, move that leg. Shake that body. We may not be able to take all the testimonies, but tomorrow morning, we are going to check yourself. We are going to, oh my God, move that part of your body. Just move. If you have noticed a difference, can you wave your hands to the Lord? Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Lift your hands and just bless the name of the Lord. Just lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Lift your hands and bless the name of Jesus.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.